Current State on 90.5 WKAR. The holidays are approaching, which for many means sharing great food and gifts and catching up with friends and extended family. For some, it also means time, that time once a year when you have to be subjected to that racist relative's offensive rants about this celebrity or that group of people. Well, our next guest might be able to help. Carolyn Gage is a playwright, director, performer, and activist based in Maine. She's in East Lansing today to discuss playwriting as part of the MSU Center for Poetry's Fall Writing Series, but she's also putting on an interactive workshop today called Interrupting Racism, and she's here in our studio to tell us more. Welcome to East Lansing, or welcome back, as it turns out.
Thank you.
You've been to East Lansing before, from Maine.
Yes.
We don't get a whole lot of traffic from Maine to East Lansing, but it's nice, nice to have a Mainer here. Your workshop is entitled Interrupting Racism. Tell us about how that works.
Well, I think that a lot of us, you know, have good politics, but suddenly we're in the middle of a situation and a professor or a beloved relative or somebody we thought knew better tells a joke, or a boss, somebody in the workplace, it just, something comes out, there's some horrifying expression or the N-word, and we're just stunned. We're stunned, and the moment moves on, because it's usually not about that. And we're like, and then you lie in bed at night and review it, and you think, I could have. But I think that for the majority of us, when we're blindsided by those, I think most of us, most of the time, let it go. And so my background's theater, I devised a workshop where we actually role play those situations. We practice what it sounds like to stop it, to interrupt it, to register our discomfort, so that when that moment comes up, you've practiced. You've been to a whole workshop, and I teach a technique that has steps, and you're like, oh, okay, and here we go, you know. So I think that... that you need to rehearse. Rehearse so you're ready
just
when it
like
happens.
Just like a good actor or actress would rehearse.
Yeah.
What kind of scenarios do you recreate here then?
Well, a lot of times I'll ask people, you know, and they'll say, oh, well, you know, my Uncle Frank, he always does such and such. Or sometimes it's homophobia. I call it interrupting racism, but it's adaptable to anything. So people will tell me situations in their families that they've put up with for years. Or sometimes things in the media, like recently there was a celebrity who, you know, was planning a large event with a theme that was antebellum and was going to kind of hire a wait staff to impersonate enslaved people. Like, yeah, what a good idea. And in that case, there was tremendous financial consequences. And when I was reading about that in the news, I thought, you know.
This is Paula Deen.
Yes.
Okay.
But I thought, how many family members over the years have been aware there was some kind of insensitivity or lack of education around certain issues and had just let those things go?
Oh, yeah.
Because you think, oh, I'm not going to ruin Thanksgiving dinner. Or, oh, God, that's just her. That's the way she is. But, you know, when you look at it, it would have been better if they'd done that because she kind of lost an empire over it. And it didn't come from nowhere. There were probably dozens, if not hundreds of people over the years who were aware that she perhaps needed some consciousness raising.
Right.
So, I mean, I try to encourage people, go ahead and do it. You know, just go ahead because you're really doing the person a favor, you know?
And for some, I mean, talk about the proverbial racist uncle who's never going to change. I mean, people must say, why bother?
Well, there's several reasons, and I think part of it is that Paula Deen thing. The next time that uncle does it, he might be doing it in a workplace and lose his job. So better to hear it at Thanksgiving dinner, you know, from a relative than have the boss say, I'm sorry, but I got to let you go. So there's that. But also, you don't do it to change the other person. You do it to hear yourself. You do it to just address it. The room full of people heard it, and the voice countering it needs to be heard. When you do it, it's almost always disruptive, of course. And that makes people socially uncomfortable. You may not change that person's prejudice, but they might think twice before they tell that joke again. And that is no small thing. If you change the behavior, but you don't change their mind, that's a win. You know?
Give us an example of something, some way you would respond if you're in this situation.
If I was in the situation and, you know, you were going on and on about they've just hired a new Martian on staff and, you know, an obvious prejudice against people and from Mars is coming up, I would say, stop, wait. That's the first step. Get the foot in the door. Wait. And then I'm going to claim the authority, which is I'm uncomfortable. I'm not going to call you racist because then we're going to argue whether I am the world authority on what is or isn't racist. So I don't go there. I'm like, wait, I'm uncomfortable with what you just said. You can't argue with that because you don't know what makes me comfortable or not.
Right.
Wait, I'm uncomfortable with what you just said. Then I get consensus. Now, you just said that you were offended that the Martian working has antenna that they don't strap down and hide. And you would say, yeah, you know, and your point is. And I would say, well, that's uncomfortable for me because that Martians have antenna and that's the deal. And why should they look like they don't come from ours? And I would express my opinion or whatever. And then depending on who you are, I would ask for accountability. I'm going to need to report you to your supervisor or I need you to walk that back or whatever. So that's a little bit. Now, that's just a really brief example. Confronting prejudice is a complicated process. That's why I do a whole workshop around it. But in a nutshell, it's a little bit like that.
Carolyn Gage is our guest. She's a playwright who is in East Lansing and is putting on an interactive workshop today called Interrupting Racism, and she's telling us how it works. When you do the workshops, how do people tend to respond?
They get very engaged because we have all done it, and we all have the boss, the uncle, the, you know, whatever, sometimes a partner. I find it really lively. Usually when you're doing anti-racism workshops, you're preaching to the choir. Uncle Frank with the problem isn't going to be in that workshop. So this is just real hands-on how you do it, you know.
What surprises people who participate in the workshop? Is there any light,
I think the biggest
bulbs
surprise
that go on?
Is that you're not trying to change the other person. It's a great relief, and I think they didn't expect that. As I say, you are speaking up for your own integrity. So that the allies in the room can say it's homophobia at Thanksgiving. Somebody makes the joke, you know, using the F word, and you interrupt it, you confront it. You don't know who's in the closet around that table, but now they know you're safe. They heard it, and they're like, I think I can come out to that guy.
Yeah.
You know, so you'd never know the impact. And a lot of people come up later, and they go, so glad you did that. You're like, yeah, where were you? But, you know, but not everybody
it takes
can do it.
Courage. It takes courage.
And they might be the next person because they saw you do it. You know, they heard how it sounded, you know. So
there is this gap, though, between what might happen in the workshop and the reality when you're actually sitting there.
I really impress upon people. If you call out your boss in something racially insensitive in front of the workforce, you may lose your job, yeah. He comes after you. I mean, or she. I mean, I think that you can't. There are consequences. There's no question about it. That's why we all sit there in silence. And everybody has to weigh, is it worth it? Am I up for it today? And I just give people the tools to encourage them. If you are up for it, go for it, you know? Do it.
How many years have you been conducting the workshops?
I started doing it about 15 years ago, but I have really been doing a lot of them recently. Maybe just feels like the time. I don't know.
And how did you come on to this idea? How did this take shape?
I'm a playwright. I know how it's like being a dialogue coach, you know? Maybe just because my dad was a lawyer, I know how the argument, you start with that, hey, that's racist. And I'm like, that whole thing's going to derail into what makes you the international authority on what's racist. And then they're going to go, well, I've got friends of color and they think that joke's hilarious. You know, you're going to go somewhere you don't want to go. That's not the point of the confrontation. So I guess because I'm a playwright, that scene is going to go off the rails. I can see it right there. You don't want to head down there. So I know what works and what doesn't. And, yeah, it's a scene. You're in a scene and you're interrupting a scene. And I feel like it's like being a dialogue coach.
You're not just a playwright and a director, though. You also perform.
Yes,
as
I
well.
Do.
Talk to us about that dimension as opposed to the directing and the playwriting.
No. Well, I tour in my own work a lot, and I did some of my work here at the Center for Poetry event last night, where I was performing Calamity Jane, and I was performing, there's a Maine hunting guide from the 19th century that I was performing. I do mostly lesbian-themed work because that's my identity and that is the work that interests me. I write about historical figures whose lesbianism has traditionally kind of been under the radar. I kind of dig that up and bring it front and center. So that's what I do.
And you are busy going around the country conducting workshops?
I tour a lot. I'm based in Maine, and recently I've been more and more focusing on producing and performing my work in New England, because flying has changed. Flying is not what it used to be.
How often have you used some of the techniques in your workshop, in your own life?
I use it all the time, partly because I'm lesbian, and I'm a lesbian cultural worker, so people look to me to be the person in the room who's going to speak up. And so I often am having to address misconceptions or statements that are insensitive or just presuming that everybody in the world is, heterosexual. And I'm having it like, well, you know, that's not always true. There could be two mothers, you know, not necessarily a mother and a father. You know, so I often am that person, the point person for addressing homophobia.
Your interactive workshop is called Interrupting Racism. There is one scheduled this afternoon?
It is. It's 3 o'clock in Snyder, C201.
Very good. Carolyn Gage is a playwright and activist based in Maine. She's here in East Lansing as part of the MSU Center for Poetry's Fall Writing Series. Her interactive workshop, Interrupting Racism, today, 3 p.m., Snyder Hall, open to the public. Carolyn, welcome back, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.